This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. Welcome to Parsha Shir, Parshas Balosucha. It's a bit late due to the Halacha Shir running over a little bit, but let's see how much we can do. Some very, very interesting ideas. If you're listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. Let's start, if you like, with the main themes of the Sedra, one of the main themes of the Sedra, and I'll explain it by way of what we try and do week in, week out, and that is, we have the Haftorah, and the Haftorah has got to be in some way connected to the Sedra. So let's start backwards. What is the connection between the Sedra and the Haftorah, and where sort of the main theme, if you like, of the Sedra and the Haftorah will emerge? Well, the obvious connection between the Sedra and the Haftorah is that Parshas Baaloscha begins with lighting of the menorah. The pasuk says, "Vaydaber Hashem Moshe lemar, daber el Aharon v'amartu elav." When you light the candles, el mul pnei hamenorah, yo'iru shivas haneiros. Okay, that's the famous opening of Parshas Baaloscha, talking about the daily lighting of the menorah in the Mishkan and in the Beis Hamikdash. The Haftorah for Parshas Baaloscha is from Zechariah. Now, it's not so well known. Let's read the first opening psukim. Vayoshav hamalach hadover bi, Zechariah is talking, and says that the malach who was talking to me returns, and he wakes me up. He sort of wakes me up like you wake up a man from his sleep. The Malach said to Zechariah, "Tell me what you see." I see in front of me a golden menorah. Kula v'gula al roisha. There's like a bowl on top of it. V'shivaner se'oleo, and there are seven branches to it. So you see that the vision of a menorah and the Malach's sort of prophetic interpretation of that vision, that's the connection. They're both talking about the menorah. However, I came across something very, very interesting. In the right, there's a sefer someone bought me, which is a compilation of many Divrei Torah of Reb Herschel Schechter and Reb Meir Twersky. And Reb Herschel Schechter makes a fascinating observation about the connection between the Sedra and Haftorah. And he says there's actually a hidden connection, separate to what we've said so far, between the Sedra and Haftorah. Now, let me explain it. Let's take a look at paragraph 1b. We know that the Rambam sets out 13 principles of faith. Shlosha Osa Ikorim, which is really, that it's in the beginning of Chelek, which is in his commentary to the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. And these are number 6 and number 7. Number one, I believe that all the nevuah of all the neviim is emes. That's number 6. Number 7, ani ma'amin be'emunah shleimah she'nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom hayis amitis, that the nevuah of Moshe was true. For shehu hoya av le'neviim, he was the father of all neviim. La'kodem in the fun of Labai Machrov. In other words, no one will match the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, interestingly, this concept is clarified further in the Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. If you take a look at the two boxes, in the fourth box on the page, fifth box on the page, this is in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah Perek Zayin Halacha Vav. The Rambam sets out exactly in what way was the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu different to all other neviim. Says the Rambam, Ma hefresh yesh ben nevuas Moshe l'shar kol ha-neviim. Shekol hanaviim b'chaloim oibemare. All other neviim, they would have that nevuah either in the form of a dream, oibemare in some sort of vision. Moshe Rabbeinu misnabe v'u'ar v'aymed. Moshe Rabbeinu was prophesizing, but he was fully awake and standing up. That's number one. Kol hanaviim alidei malach. All other neviim, the nevuah came through a malach. Lefichach roim. There they see the prophecy through some sort of moshel, a parable, v'chida, like a riddle. However, Moshe Rabbeinu loy alidei malach shenema peh el peh adaber boi. Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was actually directly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking to him kaviyachal as a man talks to another man. Kolom she'ein shom moshel, there's no mesholim, carries on the Rambam, el roye hadova al burioi, he sees it clearly, without a riddle and without a marshal. That's number two. Number three, Kol HaNaviim Yureim V'Nivholim. When other Naviim received a Nevuah, they were scared. They were shaking. Or Moshe Rabbeinu Einakein. Moshe Rabbeinu was not. Number four, Kol HaNaviim Ein Misnabim B'Chol Eis Sheyir. So all other Naviim couldn't prophesy whenever they wanted to. But Moshe Rabbeinu Einakein Ela Kol Zman Sheyachba Yitzrach HaKodesh Levashtei V'Nevuah Sharei Olof. Whenever he wanted to, as Rashi says in this week's parasha as well, that he just would go off and speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he could initiate that sort of communion. And that explains something else that happens in this week's Eder, says the Rambam. Because it says in Matan Torah, Leich emer lohem shuvu lochem lo aleichem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that after Matan Torah, he tells them all, go back to your tents. Va'ato poi amoedim odi. But you, Moshe, stand here with me. Holamadato.
As soon as their nevuah is finished, they go home.
They're human beings like any other person. They go home after their nevuah is finished.
They don't have to separate from their wives.
He never went back to his home as it were.
He separated from his wife forever after that, from Matan Torah onwards.
And therefore he was totally connected constantly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
And he was almost like on a level of Malachim because he never sort of came down from that level of Nevuah, of that intimacy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Now, you see therefore that the Rambam explains that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was qualitatively different to all other Nevi'im before and after. When the Rambam, that's the Rambam in Hilchos Yisrei HaTorah, when the Rambam in Meir Nevuchim describes this point more, he contrasts it to Zechariah. Because what happens in this week's parasha, in the Haftorah? Take a look at the second box after 1b. These are the continuation of the Haftorah of Parshas Bala Yisrael. So the Malach comes and sort of wakes up Zechariah and says, what do you see? And Zechariah says, well, I can see two menorahs and there are bowls on each side. Ushna, now carrying on that box, Pasuk Gimel, and this is Zechariah Perek Dalet. Ushnaim Zeisim Oleha, there are two olive trees there. Mimin Hagoyla, Echod Mimin Hagoyla Ve'echod Me'al Asmoyla. There's one bowl on the right of it and one bowl on the left. And so then I said to the Malach, my master, what are these? What am I seeing? Vayan HaMalach, and the Malach responds, HaDovebi, who's speaking to me, Vayom Elai, Halo Yedata Mahema. Don't you know what they are? Vayomar Lo Yaduni. I don't know, my master, I don't know what they are. Please explain to me the symbolism of the vision that I'm seeing. Vayan Vayomer Elai,
famous Pesukim. In other words, the point is that the Malach needed to explain this vision to Zechariah. And what was the vision? There were two olive trees that provided a continuous supply of oil, of fuel, which he explains symbolizes, as I've written here, all man's needs are provided by Hashem, but man must have eyes to see it, etc., etc. When the Rambam in Meir Nevuchim explains the difference of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu with all other Nevi'im, he brings this example from Zechariah. Because Zechariah had to ask, excuse me, what am I seeing? I can't quite work it out. Don't you see what you're seeing? Can't you see it? Lo yadini, I don't see it, my master. And that, says Reb Heschel Schechter, is another connection between the Sedra and the Haftorah. Because in the Sedra, at the end, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, he has the Nevuah, he speaks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Miriam speaks Lashon Hara, he separated from his wife, but now we know why he separated from his wife. Because when the Pasuk says, Shuvu lochem aleichem, but ato apoya moedi modi, but you stay here, you're not going anywhere, I need constant communion with you, you see that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't just go back to regular mundane life. He was on a different level. And therefore, he could see things clearly, he didn't tremble, he was awake, and all the differences. And to bring that quality of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu to the fore, in the Haftorah we contrast it with Zechariah, who didn't understand the vision. The Malach had to explain to him repeatedly what exactly he was seeing. And it's dafka that the Mer Nevuchim, when he brings out the quality of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, he brings exactly Zechariah. If you look at the penultimate box on the page, Kfar Bi'arnu, they see things through Mashalim, etc. So he brings the Zechariah as a great illustration of a Novi who sees things through a Mashal, doesn't always understand, has to ask, etc. So that is another connection, therefore, between the Sedra and Haftarah. The obvious connection is that the vision of the menorah in both, and the less obvious connection, the hidden connection, is the quality of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu in contrast to all other Nevi'im. Okay, let's move on to the next idea. This is something I saw in Rabbi Shmal's Sefer. Rabbi Shmal, he was the Rav of the Shtiva where I grew up in Gostrox, a well-known personality here in Northwest London, sadly passed away a few years ago. He was a phenomenal Talmud Chacham, and he's got two lovely Sfarim on Chumash called the Yunei Chaim. And he says something fascinating, quoting the Malbim in this week's parasha. So let's take a look at the bottom box on the page. Fayda beHashem Moshe Lemer, Asei lecha shtei chatzoisros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, make for yourself two chatzoisros, two trumpets. Kesef, out of silver. Mikshe tasa isom. They've got to be out of a solid block. Don't sort of add bits together. V'hoi lecha lemikra ha'eda. And you'll use them when you need to call the people. This will be your sort of calling system. The Bnei Aaron HaKohanim yisku b'chatzotros. The Bnei Aaron HaKohanim will blow the chatzotros. V'hoi lochem l'chukas olam l'doroseichem. And this will be for all generations. Okay, that's the well-known psukim Parshas Balosho. Note that in Posek Ches, when it says who's going to blow the trumpets, it says Bnei Aharon HaKohanim. Now, interestingly, sometimes it says HaKohanim B'nei Aaron. Sometimes B'nei Aaron HaKohanim, sometimes HaKohanim B'nei Aaron. So that is really what he's going to discuss. Let's go through it. Says the Yonei Chaim, top of the next page. Ksiv. U'B'nei Aaron HaKohanim Yisku B'chatzosros. Of a pasuk Yud, Ksiv, U'tzkatem B'chatzosros Al Leseichem Vazuv Shalmeichem. V'chadai Lahatik Divrei HaSifri. It's worth quoting, says Rabbi Shmal, the words of the Sifri. Be'inyan tekiyas hachatzotzros, when it comes to blowing of the trumpets. A very interesting machlokas between Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva in the Sifri. Rabbi Tarfon sova, shehatkiyas elu kasheirim b'balmum. That a Kohen, who is a balmum, whatever his mum is, he's got a broken leg, he can't hear, he can't see, whatever the mum is, he's allowed to blow the shofar to blow the chatzotzros. Vehevi raya shahari be'enov ro'o doidei, because says the Sifri, Rabbi Tarfon says, I've got a proof. I saw my uncle shahoya chiger, he was lame, tekeh b'chatzotzros. So you see that a kohen who's a balmum is able to blow the chatzotzros. Velochein chora api b'Rabbi Akiva, and therefore I'm very annoyed with Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that a Baal Mum cannot blow the Chatzotzros. Even though Rabbi Tarfon brought a raya, brought a proof from what his own eyes saw, his own uncle, who was a chiger, blew the Chatzotzros. But Rabbi Akiva did not back down. He said that a Baal Mum is possible to blow the Chatzotzros. And his response to Rabbi Tarfon was, that which he saw his uncle, who was a chiger, blow the shofar, that was a different mitzvah of chatzotzros. That was a mitzvah of blowing the shofar on or the chatzotzros on Yom Kippur or Rosh Hashanah, but nothing to do with the regular blowing of the chatzotzros. Rabbi Tarfon kibbles tvarov, and Rabbi Tarfon says, you know what? You're right. I saw my uncle, it must have been Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which is a separate mitzvah of the Chatzotzros, which is to do with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and it's not to do with the regular blowing of the Chatzotzros. You're right, Rabbi Akiva. And therefore, I agree with you that ordinarily a Chiger or any other Baal Mum is not able to blow the Chatzotzros. And then he said tremendous things. Omar, Ashrecha Avram Avinu, how lucky Avram Avinu is, Sheyotza Akiva Mechalotzecha. He has a descendant like Rabbi Akiva. Tarfon Rav Veshochach, Tarfon saw with his own eyes, but he got it wrong. He made a mistake. Akiva Deiresh Me'atzmai U'maskim La'alocha. And Rabbi Akiva darshaned himself his view that a Balmum is possible with the Chatzotras, and he's right, and the Halach is like him. Anyone who detaches themselves from Rabbi Akiva, Kapurish Mechayev, he's sort of detaching himself from life itself. Adkan Lashon HaSifri. Now, says Rabbi Shmuel, Al Sipur Zeh Ein LaHosif. I've got nothing to add to this remarkable exchange. Rak Shekosh Rabbi Akiva. I've got a question on Rabbi Akiva. Shepoisel Balimum Litzkias Chatzotras, Mimashim Mavua Bereish Parshas Emor. Because what it says in the beginning of Parshas Emor, Shekoyen Balmum also litam lemesin. Harikan ksiv hatoya kohanim ibn Aaron v'chein hason. It says the words kohanim ibn Aaron both in Parshas Emor and in our Sedra. So how come there's a difference between the two that a Balmum is also to be matamil lemesin? And he holds differently when it comes to Chatzotras. So how do you reconcile Rabbi Akiva? V'tiritz ha-malbim. The Malbim answers shehakol tolui al seida ha-dvarim. You've got to really look at the psukim carefully. Be'inyon tumas kohanim ksiv. When it comes to tumas kohanim, it says emer el ha-kohanim b'nei Aaron. That's the order. Kohanim then b'nei Aaron. Hikdima ha-torah milas kohanim le-b'nei Aaron. Or b'inyon chatzotras ksiv lehepach. But when it comes to the chatzotras, it says the other way around. Obir hadvarim hukacha. This is the explanation. Milas kohanim. When it says the word kohanim, meramezes lekohanim shehim tamimim begufam uksheirim lesharis. It's referring to kohanim who are tamimim and in their physical body uksheirim lesharis. The imbo achrov bnei Aaron. And if it then says after kohanim, it says the words bnei Aaron, bala hoisif kol bnei Aaron. Not just those who are perfect in their physical, without blemishes, but bala hoisiv al kol bnei Aaron, i.e. afilu oisim she'enam ruim mesharis, even those who could not be mesharis properly. Avol be'inyin chatzotros, and therefore, in the previous case, you all kohanim, even bali mum are included. Avol be'inyin chatzotros kasev or bnei Aaron hakohanim, what's the loima? Dafka oisim bnei Aaron, dafka oisim bnei Aaron she'ruim mesharis. That way round, B'nai Aaron means HaKohanim Dafka, those who are Roy L'Shores, to exclude the Balmum. You see, says the Malbim, that Rabbi Akiva saw in the Psukim themselves the order more than what Rabbi Tarfon could see with his own eyes. Noira V'Oyim, concludes Rabbi Shmuel. Remarkable. So you see, I can hear him saying it. You see, that the words of the psukim indicate whether a balmum would be included or not. Remarkable, very, very interesting. Let me just quickly finish this one final idea. This is something which is astonishing. I saw this in Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein Sefer, something which we've mentioned before, but just a short but very beautiful idea. In Baal Oischa, at the very end, you've got the famous story where Moshe Rabbeinu davens for Miriam. She speaks Lashon Hara about him, and she davens, and Moshe Rabbeinu davens, Kelna Rafon Allah. Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah is met by a very strange response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Take a look at the paragraph 3. Vayitzak Moshe Lashem Lema Kelna Rafon Allah. That's the famous short tefillah that Moshe expresses. Pasuk Yudalit. Vayoyme Hashem El Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to this tefillah is, Va'aviha Yorak Yorak Befoneho, and were her father to spit in her face, would she not be ashamed for 7 days? Let her be quarantined outside the camp for 7 days, and then she can be brought in. As Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein puts it, this kal v'chomer argument that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds is more suited to the Beis HaMedrash than for the conversation at hand. What a very strange response by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. He makes a kal v'chomer. You know, if she wouldn't be, if her father were to spit in her face, wouldn't she be ashamed for 7 days? It's a kal v'chomer. This is against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She should be quarantined against, you know, outside for 7 days. What is going on over here? Very strange response. So, the fabulous idea from the Bnei Soscha. We've seen this before on another occasion, and that is there are two parallel sets of 13 middos. One is from Parshas Kisiso, Hashem Hashem Karachem V'chanun, Vayav Hashem Pono, Vayikra Hashem Hashem Karachem V'chanun, Rechapayim Rech Chesed V'emes, Netzach Chesed Alofim, etc., etc. Then you've got a second set of Yud Gimel Midos. That's what every man says every morning at the end of Rabbi Shmuel Oimer. At the end of, just before Baruch Sha'oma, before Mizmei Shir, we say Rabbi Shmuel Oimer. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, B'shloish Esrei Midos HaTorah Nidreshes. That the Torah is darshan, is extrapolated by way of 13 principles. The first one is Kal V'chomer. The second one is Gezeirah Shava. The last one is Shnei Ksuvim HaMachishim Zeh Asher V'Kos V'Sheshi V'Achir B'neim. The 13 ways in which Torah is darshan. Now, the Bnei Yisoscha says that there is a parallel between each of these 13 midas. In other words, Hashem Hashem Kel Racham V'Chanum, each one marries up with the 13 midas, Kal V'Chomer, Gezeirah Shava, etc., etc. Now, let's take a look, because this is going to explain the very strange response that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Moshe Rabbeinu. Dehine, this is the last box. Hamidas Shatur Nidreshes Bohem, Halohim Torah Shebal Peh Nimsru Misinai. This is Torah Shebal Peh that was given down from Har Sinai. Vehima Mechuvonim Lehayud Gil Midas Sharachamim, the 13 principles, Kal V'Chomer, Gezeirah Shava, etc., parallel the Yud Gil Midas Sharachamim. Dehainu, when a person engages in each of these midas, for example, the first one, Kal V'Chomer, Ma'ore Midas Kel, that activates the first of the other set of midas, i.e. Kel. He says, V'ayim B'kisvei HaKodesh Ma'arinu HaRav Dov Be'er, that's the Maggid of Mezrich, who says, Hinei Moshe Shehispal L'Chosei Kel Narafon Ola, when Moshe Rabbeinu davened for his sister in this week's Parsha, he wanted to arouse the midah of kale in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which would generate a refuah to his sister. Heishiv laHaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, V'ovia yorak, etc. Hainu limut kal v'chomer. That is involving a kal v'chomer. V'yis'ore midas kel. And therefore it's the kal v'chomer which is going to activate the midah of kale. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu asked Kel Narafon Ola, he wanted Kel Narafon Ola. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, show your kindness to my sister, let her be cured. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we look at that response, elaborate, strange response. It's not elaborate, it's not strange. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making a Kal V'Chomer. He's activating the Kel. That's how you trigger it. Because each one corresponds to the Yud Gimel Midas. So therefore, the Kal V'Chomer responds to the Midah of Kel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by invoking a Kal V'Chomer, he's triggering, he's activating the Midah of Kel. Continues the Bnei Soscha, U'cheshe'yilmud Odom Gezer Shalva, which is the next one on the list, Shuv Ma'ere Midas Rachum, that's the next one. V'chein Be'inach, and so too with all of them. V'hine k'sheyesh Odom Chas V'Shalom Avonis V'nigzeh Kanal, and therefore if a person Chas V'Shalom has got Avonis and there's a Gezer against him, by learning the Gezeirah Shava, Ma'ore Midas Rachum, that is what activates the next midah of Rachum. Umidas Rachum zeskulosav urachum yichape avin v'lo yashchis. He won't destroy. He'll forgive. Afilu k'shegozach hashon hayashchos al sene Yisrael v'midas Rachum yichape avin v'lo yashchis. So it's an amazing insight of the Bnei Soscha that each of the 13 midas, the parallel sets, each one activates the other. They're connected. So when Moshe Rabbeinu says Kel no Rafon Allah, using the midah of Kel, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, use this midah of kindness, of empathy, whatever you want to call it, of Kel, to give a refuah to Miriam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually saying, Moshe, fine, I will. How does he do that? By making a Kal V'Chomer. Because that's the first one of each set of the Yud Gimel Midas, and that will therefore activate it, that will trigger it, and so too with all the other Midas of the 13 Yud Gimel Midas. So there we have it, three ideas for this evening. Number one is the Seder and the Haftarah. The obvious connection between the Seder and the Haftarah is the lighting of the menorah in both, but the more subtle, hidden connection is the sort of the contrast of the Nevuahs of Moshe Rabbeinu and Zechariah. It's the Rambam himself who brings the example of Zechariah, of a Novi who hasn't got the clarity that Moshe Rabbeinu has. Then we saw the Chatzotrus explains Rabbi Shmuel using the Malbim, fabulous, to explain that interesting Sifri and why it's B'nai Aaron, HaKohanim, sometimes it's not as Kohanim B'nai Aaron, to explain his position. And then lastly, this idea of the Maggid of Mezrich is brought in the B'nai Yisoscha to explain HaKadosh Baruch Hu's somewhat strange response to Moshe's tefillah, that he actually is initiating the process of Miriam's recovery.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.